Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Today, salvation has come to this house, for he too is a son of Abraham. He too is a son of Abraham. He too. In some ways, the challenge of grace, the hardest thing about grace, is also what makes it amazing, that it's for all. Sure, we like the sound of that on the surface. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. In other words, we love grace, the promise that there's nothing we can do or say to lose the love of God when it's for us. In fact, it's sort of helpful from time to time. It's when that circle starts to get a little wider where we start to have the challenge, don't we? Grace for us, perfectly fine, and maybe even for that next circle out, that next tier out, our inner circle, our friends and most family. We're fine with grace for them. These are the people that, you know, for the most part, look like us and think like us and smell like us and vote like us. We're fine with them having grace. It makes sense. They deserve it. Why not? No, it's that next tier out that's the real challenge, not the furthest tier out. If we don't really know them, we're fine with them having grace. Why not? Out of sight, out of mind. No, it's sort of the in-between. You know, the people we know, but who are decidedly not our friends. The people who have wronged us in some way. The people who don't look like us or think like us or smell like us or vote like us. You know, the people who have just managed to get under our craw. The people who just are looking out for themselves. The people who have wronged us or someone we love. Maybe you have someone in mind. A Lex to your Superman. A Newman to your Seinfeld. A Malfoy to your Harry. What do you mean he too has the grace of God? She too has the grace of God. They too have the grace of God. Where's the justice in that? But make no mistake, friends, that is actually what we believe. That's both the beauty and the scandal of grace, that it is for all. We're not a some kind of people, we're an all kind of people. The grace of God is for all of us, those who deserve it and those who don't seem to deserve it at all, the best among us and the absolute worst. They all have the grace of God. But there's a difference between having grace and living like it matters. And on this Reformation Sunday, it does seem important that we point it out. That is, all of us have the grace of God. We did nothing to earn it, and thank God, can do nothing to take it away. But not all of us embrace it. Not all of us live differently because of it. If grace is that promise that there is nothing you can do or say to lose the love of God, then the response to grace is loving like God first loved us. And as we know, not all of us choose that. The good news is we could. All of us have that choice. That's the gift of free will. That's the opportunity that all of us have. We all have that opportunity to embrace the grace of God. In the Methodist circle, we call that justifying grace. It's the moment when we say, I've got it. And then sanctifying grace is that promise to live differently because of it. Only not all of us take that next step. The good news is we can. Each and every moment, all of us, young, old, black, white, gay, straight, male, female, rich, poor, broken, whole, Republican, Democrat, trans, cis, and everyone beyond and between, all of us have that opportunity to embrace the grace of God. Maybe there's someone out there today who needs that reminder. Maybe there's someone out there today who's struggled a little bit in life and who's thought to themselves, well, I know you say all means all, but perhaps you actually mean all means some. And we are here week after week, imperfect as we are, to remind each other, no, all actually means all. And if we need a reminder, we need only look to people like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. We know that song, right? Some of us, at least. We know that story of Zacchaeus. It's one of the classic tales of Scripture. It gets its own children's song. I love that song. We continue in our gospel, our autumnal walk through the Gospel of Luke today. Luke, of course, some I hope will know by now, is the gospel that's attempting to cast a wide net. It's that gospel that's trying to bring in everybody, not just Jew or Greek, but Jew and Greek, that is, the whole world. And one of the ways Luke tries to do that, writing 40, 50, 60 years after Jesus, is by constantly having Jesus encounter people that everyone else would dismiss. In our story today, like last week, it is a tax collector. One wonders whom, if he was writing today, he might have us encounter. Now, we established last week, of course, that tax collectors were not the beloved bureaucrats they are today. These were they who were deputized by the Roman authority to go and gain taxes from the people no matter what it took. They made no salary, they only made what they skimmed off the top, and so they were a generally and genuinely reviled people. Only Luke in this passage ups the ante. He doesn't just make him any tax collector, he is the chief tax collector, and just for good measure adds that he was rich, which, if we've been following along in the gospel, is not usually a good thing. It was just one chapter before, in fact, that Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to encounter the kingdom of God. So, we think we know what's going to happen when Zacchaeus and Jesus meet. That is, we're ready to rumble. Only, as so often happens with Jesus, he surprises us. That's the thing about grace. It never ceases to amaze. In the story, Jesus is passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector who is rich, decides that he wants to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. It says he wanted to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. Now, traditionally, we take that to mean Zacchaeus was short in stature, hence the wee little man song. But even in the Greek, it's a little unclear. It could be Zacchaeus, but it could also be Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. How might that change the way we look at Jesus? Pooh! What would it do for us to have a short Savior? We have a hard enough time not thinking about Jesus as a white guy, and we know that's not the case. What would it do for us to think of Jesus as short? Fortunately, whether it's Zacchaeus or Jesus who is short, we know that they're not the shortest people in the Bible. That, of course, is either Nehemiah or Bildad the Shuhite. We digress. The point is, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. And so he, a grown man, a chief tax collector, a rich person, climbs a tree. He goes out on a limb to see who Jesus was. Maybe some of us know what that's like. In some ways, it's the question that brings us here today, isn't it? Or on our live stream. It's the question all of us ask at some point. We want to know who this Jesus was, who this Jesus is. And so we come together with all these other imperfect people to try and be a little more perfect together than we are apart. We're here to try and figure it out together, to see who Jesus was. It takes, as we know, a change in perspective, leaving behind some of the other things we do in the course of a week, leaving behind our bed just for a moment so that we can wander into church, endure a sermon, and listen for who this Jesus was in the hope that we might find something. It takes a change in perspective, something that is so often forbidden in these days. How dare you change your mind? How dare you listen to another side? Only it worked out for Zacchaeus. He went out on a limb, and Jesus stopped at the tree and looked up to this man that everyone else had looked down upon. And we think in that moment, this is where it's going to happen. We've watched enough reality TV shows to know exactly what's going to happen when one person encounters another, and you know that they ought to be mortal enemies. But instead, again, Jesus surprises us. He amazes us with his grace. He says, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I must go to your house, not tomorrow, not this afternoon, but today," as in right now. No time for tidying it up. No time for cleaning up. He wants to go right then. And Zacchaeus, we're told, was happy to welcome him. He welcomed him with open arms. Friends, what might Jesus be asking himself, inviting himself into in your life? And what is your response? Of course, as so often happens, it shouldn't surprise us, though this was a conversation between Jesus and Zacchaeus, it's everyone else who seems to have the problem. We're told that the crowd around them began to grumble, 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 grumble. At some level, it's sort of comforting to know that few things have changed, that it's much easier to grumble at something we don't understand than it is to actually just go and ask. To find out, not that that ever happens in church, no, but this was a long time ago. Grumble, 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 grumble. They began to say to one another, "This man has gone to eat with a sinner." Now, in their defense, of course, there were strict dietary laws in those days that prevented eating with sinners, though one wonders who you would eat with if you couldn't. But we do sort of get it, don't we? That maybe this is Luke's moment to try and remind us of what it takes some of us our whole lives to figure out. That who we share a meal with, who we're willing to open our homes to, whom we're willing to share that most precious resource we're provided, time, says something about what we believe. It's easy to say we love all people when we just keep them out there. But if the only people we ever have over, the only people we ever spend any time with, the only people we ever break bread with are those who look like us or think like us or smell like us or vote like us, then do we really believe it? Do we really mean it? Remember, Luke is trying to cast a wide net, to scandalize us with grace, to remind us that it is actually for all, not for some. And in this moment, everybody starts to grumble, and Zacchaeus stops. He stands there. Maybe you've had one of those moments. We are in a call-out culture, aren't we? And Zacchaeus gets called out. And Zacchaeus simply says, I will give half of my money to the poor. And anyone I have wronged, I will pay back fourfold. Only that makes it sound like he's going to do those things, as if he's not doing them right now. But when you look in the Greek, it's actually in the present tense, as if That's something he already does and plans to continue. He's saying, look, I give half my money to the poor. I pay back fourfold anyone I might have defrauded. That is, he continues to do it. And in that moment, Jesus responds simply, today, salvation has come to this house, for he too is a son of Abraham. In Luke's gospel, this being a son of Abraham has nothing to do with lineage. It has everything to do with heart. It is about who we are and what we believe and how we're willing to open our arms to the people around us. In fact, this may be the only time in all of Scripture when we hear of a rich man finding salvation. And he doesn't do it through repentance. He doesn't do it through changing his ways. He does it by opening his arms when provided the opportunity. Might we all do the same? What would it mean to be able to give of ourselves, to open our arms when those opportunities come to us, and to remember that the grace of God is not just for us, it is for all. Because once we recognize it, we have no choice but to share it. Not with some, but with all, not just with the people who look like us, or think like us, or smell like us, or vote like us, but with all. If we could all do that, friends, well, then grace would truly be amazing. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.